Mini episode 970 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
I'd say there's basically about half the card for WrestleMania. 14 matches, including the yet-to-be-officially-inked Cena-Undertaker match, which will happen this week. There's about, I'd say about seven of them that sort of fit under the line that aren't even plausible semi-main event matches. There's a lot of plausible semi-main events and even a few plausible ones to go on last year. But the men's and women's battle royals should both be on the pre-show. The women's one may not be, just because they want to do the whole OMG history, break themselves on the break their arms, patting themselves on the back kind of a deal. But essentially, it is just an overflow for people that they don't have storylines for at this point. Sadly, the Cruiserweight Championship match will probably be on the pre-show as well, although it doesn't deserve to be. Cedric Alexander v. Mustafa Ali in what should be an absolutely epic face-v-face title match. Although, again, face-v-face is going to be done a couple of times on the show as well in prominent matches, so there's that. So maybe it gets relegated to the undercard. Those are ones where, again...
should be on the pre-show, because I'll be honest, I am in the group of people that I casually watch 205 Live, and the fact it's not really featured, the story has not been featured on the main programming on it. Your casual fan that doesn't tune into 205 Live isn't going to really know either one of them. I mean, they're going to know them, but they don't have a name value to me. Bluntly speaking, I don't care about either one of these guys. They haven't done anything to make me care about either one of these guys. So I look at it like, I mean, okay. And there's, like, nothing that really jumped out. Like, there's no, I don't know. Like, I know the wrestling was really good. It was just me as a fan. I personally just didn't get into it because there wasn't a whole lot of names. It's just, like, it's the same guys that were in before. All the guys that I wanted were gone early. Like, what happened to Hideo Itami? Did he get fired? stuff like that. It's just like, but it'll be a good match. It'll be perfectly serviceable wrestling. I just think it's going to be one of those matches they put on the pre-show on the USA portion so people can see it and go, oh yeah, look, good wrestling.
Probably. Probably, yeah. Again, I think they've made the most of the Enzo-inspired reset, which in the long run I think is going to be the best thing that could have happened to them, because they had gone so far off the tracks, and it's funny how in kayfabe and out of kayfabe they're acknowledging that right now with this reset, with this rededication to in-ring action. And again, the tag titles that are going to be coming in the spring... Again, this was like over a year ago. You remember when I used to be really hyped about 205 Live, and I think I even said to you at the time, I'm more hyped about what I think it's going to become, and it never became that. But now it looks like it's going to be, because with tag titles, you have a full-fledged mini promotion, another sort of super indie, much like NXT. And again, I think if you like NXT, you're going to love 205 Live. I think it's going to be going in that direction as far as emphasizing the important things here. So I'm excited for where I think it's going to go. I agree with you. This one probably makes it on the pre-show, but I'll be honest with you. It should not be on the pre-show with the U.S. title match on the main show, but that will probably be the case. This blah feud that refuses to die of Randy Orton, who is the champion, I guess just so that they could make him a Grand Slam champion. Orton, Rude, Mahal, and Rusev. Rude, who is a mismatched face at this time, and Rusev, who is still a mismatched heel at this time. Again, a couple of guys by and large that I don't really care much about at this point. I'd care more about Rude if he were a heel. I care about Rusev for all the reasons that the company doesn't seem to want anybody to care about him for. So that's a match right there. Should be on the pre-show, but you know it won't be because OMG, Randy Orton, got to put it on the main show.
If they were less truly listening to the audience, Rusev would win the United States Championship.
Yeah.
Because he has... literally took what the old took to chicken salad. You know, he made chicken salad out of nothing. We'll say PG on this one. He made chicken salad out of nothing. Like, they gave him nothing, and like, he has, up until this past week, he was the most over babyface on SmackDown. He got Aiden English over from nothing to like all of a sudden, and they keep miscasting him as a heel. I would love to see you. My heart is picking Rusev to win the United States Championship. But you know what? Also, I wouldn't be shocked of is if Jinder Mahal stole the title, only because they spent so much time trying to build up the character and build up the character, and they gave him that god awful push as the WWE champion. I mean, if they're going to stick with something with Jinder Mahal, him stealing out a win wouldn't surprise me at all.
It sort of depends on how you think it's going to go with the rest of the titles, because it's hard to imagine. There's probably going to be at least 4 title changes, but it's hard to imagine much beyond that. There could be 5. There won't be 6. You're not going to be seeing, you know, because then it's going to devalue the concept as the night goes on of the titles changing hands. So Randy Orton stealing a pinfall with OMG RKO out of nowhere is as likely as anything else. Another one of the matches that I think is below the line here, not under consideration as a semi-main event, is the Raw Women's title match, Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax. It's an interesting, they've done the whole sort of Batista Triple H 2005 thing here, you know, the poor women's version of it, I guess you would say, with Nia Jax now as the monster face out for vengeance, but it's such a mismatch of styles here in this kind of a match. I think for the reasons I just outlined, you probably can't afford to, I won't say waste one of your title switches here, but that's kind of like what it would be. But there's no credible freaking way in the world for 5-foot Alexa Bliss to win this thing. You talk about exposing the business. So you don't want to do F. You don't want to do F finishes at WrestleMania. Well, listen, I'm all ears, buddy, because outside of doing a non-finish, which should be unthinkable, I don't know how you get out of this one.
I'm going to do a non-finish.
Well,
because you're going to have the rest of the show, and honestly, this is that match that we call filler, that you got to have something in there. I mean, not everything can keep a peak up, and up.
Right.
Alexa Bliss goes to get, like, absolutely smashed. She tries to get counted out. The ref makes her come back in and finally gets to the point where Mickie James just interferes, or however you want to do it, and she gets DQ'd. Or another finish you could do is that Lexi is in the corner. Yeah, we're friends. I call her Lexi. Lexi is in the corner. She goes to splat. Nia Jax goes to her running splash. Alexa Bliss moves out of the way. Mickie James has removed the turnbuckle pass. She hits her head, falls down, pins her. It's stupid. It's dumb. But I'm not expecting a 5-star classic here. I'm expecting, if I'm going to be bluntly honest, this is the match where I go get another beer.
Yeah, and it's, again, you talk about going full circle, the women's division going back to a championship match being a piss break match. That won't be the case with the other one, though. The other one is, I would say, above the line here. When you're looking at the dividing line of WrestleMania, that one is definitely above the line. Other ones that I think are below the line are both tag team title matches. Both will be on the main show. Number one, because the Usos have made whining about never being on the main show part of their gimmick, it seems like. So this is one where I'm going with the title change here. I think everything is pointing to Harper and Rowan getting the belts. We need to basically, again, I thought we'd had the blow-off for Usos and New Day a long time ago here. I guess I'm hesitant to say anything will ever be the last match between them, but this is probably the transition to both of them chasing the Bludgeon Brothers. Again, I'm just like every other smark out there. I wish Luke Harper was getting a main event singles push, but I'll take this. This one's going to be on the main show, and I see it as a vehicle to push Harper and Rowan to the moon, which is interesting because as themselves, without the Bludgeon Brothers gimmick, they couldn't beat the Usos for the tag titles a couple of years ago. I guess we're supposed to just forget about that.
Yes, absolutely forget about that. And my only thing with that, there's been some late rumors going around that this one could be a ladder match. And if this one becomes a ladder match, I see the Usos retaining in the ladder match because then the Bludgeon Brothers never have to lose the titles. And then you can have them win the titles at the next in a proper one-on-one match. Because unfortunately, WrestleMania is also a lot of hits to everybody on the card. Now, if because that, or even with, you know, if it doesn't, I can see the Usos pinning the New Day to retain the titles after the Bludgeon Brothers do the work. Either way, I'm taking the Usos to retain the titles. Because you mentioned not every title can change hands. So no matter what, but without the Bludgeon Brothers being the ones that get pinned or taking a fall, no matter what, I see it being the New Day taking the fall. WWE does weird things. They could have the New Day with the belts back, but that would make absolutely zero sense. I just see the Usos now. Funny story on this match. The one thing that our good friend Adam wants, he wants this on the pre-show. He wants this to match on the pre-show just so the Usos never make it to WrestleMania.
I would co-sign that.
That's the only thing he wants. He wants the Usos to never get on WrestleMania.
I'm not sure you should make it to WrestleMania just because you've basically backed the company into a corner via your Twitter feed. So I co-sign that one. You know, I'm in agreement. And this is a thing where, again, this is sort of a separate point, but I said this on last year's WrestleMania preview with Evan Roberts of WFAN in New York, and I think he kind of agreed with me, if memory serves. I feel like the WWE backed themselves into a corner with the whole Survivor Series thing. The one night a year that Raw and SmackDown face each other, I would have kept it for Raw and SmackDown feuds within the shows. And the way that you get everybody on WrestleMania is I'd have like a big 10-on-10 inter-brand match. Like, you know, do it for the men and the women or whatever. Have a brand pride match here rather than at Survivor Series, because I think that's a more organic way. You could even throw some champions in the mix, because I think it devalues the championships. Oh, by the way, we're going to have a night of champions, I think, in December with all the belts being defended, and it's going to be like, big deal. We saw that at WrestleMania, so I don't like the way that they have WrestleMania structured writ large in this second brand split era.
I'm okay with it, honestly. I'd rather, I like how they, again, Survivor Series a purpose, the two, I mean, they might as well just call it Survivor Series bragging rights. I have absolutely no problem with that, and then I'd much rather have, you know, champions defending their title on their specific brand. I would be okay with it if they did, like, one, like, brand versus brand thing instead of, like, you know, the Super Battle Royal. But, I mean, again, that's the beauty of things. We can agree to disagree.
Sure. And I'm just thinking, too, I'd rather have 9 or 10 matches rather than when you're getting to 14, and it's 14 because you got to make room for everybody, you got to make room for the returns, etc. The other match that I feel is certainly below that line as far as the undercard part of the show is... And this is debatable in some quarters, because some people would say it's above the line and you have 8 matches that really mean a lot versus 6. But I'm going to say, notwithstanding the fact that Braun Strowman has been one of the MVPs of the company in the last year, this whole kind of thrown together thing, him and a tag team partner to be named later against Cesaro and Sheamus. And again, Cesaro, that mirrors what I said about Luke Harper on the other show. In my perfect world, I'd have Cesaro as a main event player, but what they're doing with him in a tag team in the meantime is just fine with me. This match here, again, it's thrown together. It's one of those kind of things. And again, if they're not careful, kind of risks devaluing the tag division a little bit. The way that Braun blew through that Battle Royal single-handedly, did the Revival and other teams like that no favors. Certainly the Balor Club, if you will, now the renamed Balor Club with those guys being a part of it. But to me, this one's kind of below the line. There's talk about Rey Mysterio coming in as the mystery partner. Ellsworth would be pretty funny. I have a feeling this is one place that they do a title switch, just because I think they want Braun Strowman to have that moment on this stage. So regardless of who the partner is, I think he's walking out of there with the belts.
Well, you're going to hate my prediction.
Okay.
This is going to be fun. All right. So, first of all, you made a comment. The Raw Tag Team Division, the Raw Tag Titles had value? I mean, other than Sheamus and Cesaro, that's about it. There's really,
okay.
Talk about needing a shake-up.
Right.
I mean, holy. And it's their own fault. They buried everybody.
They have.
I mean, you bring up the Revival, and then you bury them immediately. It's
right.
Like, well, that doesn't really work. Now, based on what's said, and I'm actually going to predict a title change here. I actually agree with you on this. Who is your prediction to be Braun Strowman's tag team partner?
I'm going to choose to believe the Rey Mysterio rumors. I think it's going to be him.
I'm going to go with the fact that he said, I already have a partner on Raw, and he does have a partner, and Team Little Big are going to win the Raw Tag Team Championship, and every Mark's going to hate it, but he's going to come out, he's never going to tag Alexa Bliss in, he's going to destroy Sheamus and Cesaro by himself, he's going to win the title, they're going to be like, well, what do we do now? They're like, we don't know, we're going to tune in the next night on Raw to find out what happened, because... That's, you know, that's my outlandish, that is my thinking in the mindset of Vince McMahon prediction.
Okay, so you're going with Team Little Big version 1.0. I'm going with Team Little Big version 2.0. So we are...
Which, you know, again, you know, I mean, Stranger things have happened. Now, in my perfect world, the other two backup ideas that are out there, which I wouldn't want to see, one is Samoa Joe, which I don't want to see.
Right.
Two is Kane, which I don't want to see. No. But hey, we beat the crap out of each other, now I respect you thing. And the same thing applies to the third one being the Big Show. I beat the crap out of you, but now we respect each other's story.
I've heard the Big Show cited. Yeah, I don't want to see any of those. And again, this is one that could be disastrous based on how they handle it. But as far as, and I saved it for a reason, that the bar basically moves up to where I would say the line is as far as the undercard part of the show and above the undercard part of the show. I teased this to you off air. This is a card that reminds me of two different cards because they were kind of deep in terms of the semi-main event matches here. Interestingly enough, it wasn't exactly clear what was or what should have been the main event on these shows. WrestleMania 19 and WrestleMania 26 both had a number of matches that were billed as meaning an awful lot. Angle Lesnar went on last at WrestleMania 19. You also had in the mix Hogan and Vince, Austin and Rock, Triple H and Booker, with that whole infamous outcome. Michaels Jericho, which was the big favorite as far as match of the night. And again, interesting how that goes, that the one that's the match of the night isn't necessarily the one that you would guess coming in. WrestleMania 26, I guess it wouldn't have been too shocking that Michaels and Undertaker, given Michaels being Mr. WrestleMania, would have been match of the night, but and given what they had done the year before, they were almost as great. I gave them 4 3/4 stars as opposed to 5 stars the year before, but Cena Batista, Bret Hart versus Vince and that overbooked schmoz, Jericho Edge. I'm even throwing the whole breakup of Legacy in there because that was a highly touted match. And Triple H Sheamus, just because really any Triple H match at that point in time, plus Sheamus for the push that he had had. So this year's card reminds me of that year's card of where there were a number of matches that they were pushing as having almost equal importance to the main event. And again, such that you'd have a hard time necessarily telling what should go on last there. It's shocking to me that Cena Batista didn't go on last, although again, maybe they figured the year before, you know, following Michaels and Undertaker was impossible. But Cena Batista had already been wasted at a SummerSlam. But this just reminds me of that. A lot of parody at the top, but a lot of matches that are supposed to mean an awful lot.
Yeah, and on that WrestleMania 2, which is also the same reason why I think that the main event of the show is going to be John Cena versus The Undertaker, because I think this is going to be The Undertaker going off the one last ride, going off into the sunset for him. I know we said it last year, but I think even him being like, okay, I didn't like that match, we're going to do this one. And I think that's going to be this, and if that's what it is, that supersedes any title. It just does. And I know some purists are like, no, the championship has to go on last. No, it doesn't. Hogan Rock should have gone on last. I was there live. That should have gone on last. There was no way any match was going to be able to beat the drama and the emotion that was built up. I think Ric Flair versus Shawn Michaels to go on last.
Right.
When you have a stipulation that is that big, that's bigger than the championship. You stick to the stipulation. I mean,
right.
That's the key.
Right.
Stick to the stipulation. It's totally moot. But like, I mean, there was no way you could, you know, top something like that. But at any rate, let's get into this.
All right. Yeah, I think to rehabilitate, you normally figure if it's somebody's last match that it's traditional for them to do the JOB. But I think the back end of the Undertaker's career. And it's funny because he had that four-year run. I lump those 4 years together, the two Michaels matches, the two Triple H matches, of being just absolutely epic and matches the likes of which you wouldn't have imagined him having at WrestleMania. It's really been downhill from there. And again, as far as...
That was all right.
Yeah, it was, but I mean, it was a goofy storyline. I'm sure you liked it more than I did, but...
No, I thought that sort of was so dumb.
Oh, okay, all right, so we're in agreement.
So
yeah, we're in agreement, but a blasé match against Bray, a match against Shane that had its moments, but was kind of a thrown-together excuse for a match because everybody was injured, and the two losses...
That made no sense.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing. Wait, so The Undertaker's Vince's bitch? Wait, what?
Right.
Like, the whole build-up to that was just nonsense.
Right. And again, because like I said, kayfabe matters, the losses to Brock and to Roman Reigns, I think Taker has to go out with his arm raised just to validate the sort of back end, the final chapter of his career. I'm predicting it happens. I'm predicting it happens as Biker Taker, because I think that's their setup for this, is that the, you know, classic Cola Undertaker retired last year. Biker Taker is back for one last ride.
And I agree with you, and he's going to get the live Kid Rock intro.
Yep.
And John Cena's going to have his own Super Cena, because it's going to be the main event.
Yep.
He's going to get his own Super Cena intro. I don't know what that's going to be. This match is going to end with The Undertaker beating, and it'll be the American Badass, and he defeats John Cena. And I think as the show ends, as he's standing in the ring, and then that's when the lights go out, and when the lights come back on, there's his hat and his coat, and that's the one last time, and he kind of walks off with the Dead Man music.
Yeah.
And the last thing you see is him doing the walk away.
Right.
And that's it. And he just turns, and he gets to the top of the stage, he lifts the fist up, a la Biker Taker Undertaker, and a little bong, and that's it. And that's how WrestleMania ends, and the crowd's chanting, "Thank you, Taker," including John Cena.
Yep.
Is in the ring chanting, "Thank you, Taker."
But,
like, he's just pointing down at him. Hell, if I'm looking at the entire freaking arena rosters on the stage chanting, "Thank you, Taker."
Here's the thing,
like,
though.
Everybody comes up.
Here's the thing.
Except for Brock Lesnar.
Well, yeah. But I look at this, and it's a thing where this match, to me, symbolizes the entire card, because I agree with you. There's a lot that I'm excited to see on this card, but it's in spite of the company. They've done such a garbage job of promoting this. I think next year things will be better in having, you know, a February and a March pay-per-view that are going to be joint brands. I think this year having the SmackDown one coming so close to WrestleMania made it jarring, I think, as far as how to promote this. And I think that they've been all over the map as far as what they've tried to attach importance to. To go into the last week here, and obviously you know that it happens the last week, but John Cena Undertaker, there was talk that they were going to start to promote this the night of Raw 25. That would have been perfect,
yeah,
because the way they leveraged Raw 1000 to plant the seeds for CM Punk and Rock the next year at the Royal Rumble, that's exactly what they should have done here. You can't throw together a match with two of the biggest legends in company history, make it official 6 days before the show. It's garbage, and I think it symbolizes how poor a job they've done of getting us hyped about. Almost every match I mention from here on in, I'm going to say the same thing, that we should be conditioned to care about this more than we do. You and I care about this because we're hardcores. What about the rest of the world?
The rest of the world cares because it's The Undertaker. And that's why they're going to care. And it's John Cena. And that's why they're going to care. You saw when John Cena mentioned The Undertaker's name.
Yeah.
The place goes nuts for it. When he comes out on Monday, which actually what would be fantastic is if he didn't come out on Monday.
Yeah.
Because then everyone would be like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You don't know if it's going to happen or not. He'd be like, nope, not going to happen. It just doesn't happen. I would actually not be upset by that whatsoever. That's all. I have a feeling The Undertaker's going to come out on Monday, and that's going to be that, or he's going to accept his challenge. Or, you know, that's, I mean, because you got to get to, you don't build this up to, you know, you have Kid Rock going into the, it's the only reason why freaking Kid Rock could be going into the Hall of Fame. I can't think of any other reason other than to play the American Badass theme.
Right. Well, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, it could be done differently, but at the same time, you know, the story they're going with is that he keeps calling him out. He's being a disrespectful little punk, and then when he shows up, he's going to be that 2003 variation of The Undertaker that shook John Cena's hand and said, hey, and endorsed him, and he's going to be like, you disrespectful little punk, you know? I didn't show up because I don't have to. And as soon as he comes out and does that, everyone's going to be like, yay, I'm not saying it's good or bad.
Right.
You know? I mean, it's what it is.
Well, this is one of these things.
You know,
Kid Rock, he is going in, I think, so that he can be a Hall of Famer alongside his political soulmate, President Donald Trump. But that's another story.
Boys.
Yeah, exactly. They are.
Think he's going to be there?
I wouldn't bet against it. I would not bet against anything, you know, with this company and their whole circus mentality.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, The Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.